بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، respected elders and dear brothers, in tonight's Taraweeh Salah, we commenced with the 18th juz, which is the beginning of Surah Al-Mu'minun. And this surah is named Surah Al-Mu'minun, of course, after the Mu'minun, the believers. As we find in this particular surah, various attributes, characteristics, qualities of the true believers have been mentioned. In fact, the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, when that person had asked her to describe the akhlaq, the conduct, the characteristics of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she then replied, kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an, that his character, or rather he was an embodiment of the Qur'an. And thereafter she recited these opening verses of Suratul Mu'minun, to say that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had every single one of these qualities found within him. So Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Indeed, those who have iman are successful. أَفْلَحَ, here ulama explained, does not only refer to success in the akhirat, but this includes success in dunya, success in qabr, and success in the akhirat. Person who has true iman, then he will be successful in both the worlds. Who are the people of iman? A few attributes are mentioned. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. First Allah says, those who have devotion, have concentration in their salah. In other words, when they now turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they engage in ibadat, then this is done with concentration, with devotion. It is not done haphazardly or just to get it off their shoulders, but they make an effort, a conscious effort, to perform their salah correctly. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. Secondly, those who turn away, they shun all futility. Al-laghu refers to those things that do not benefit them. Doesn't benefit their dunya, doesn't benefit their akhirat. Things that have no real purpose or point. So this they turn away from, they shun. They don't waste their valuable time in these efforts or in these pursuits. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ. And those who discharge their zakat, when it comes to their monetary ibadat, this also they understand and realize that this is an amanat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a trust from Allah. So they discharge their zakat timeously, correctly. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. And those who protect their chastity. إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ. If they require or they need to fulfill their desires, then this they do so with their spouses or their slave girls. For this Allah says there is no blame upon them. This is permissible. This has been made lawful for them. But other than these avenues that Allah has allowed for them, they protect and they look after, they guard their chastity. And here the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which appears in Bukhari Sharif, we learn about zina, which will be mentioned later on as well, that al-aynani tazniyan. One is the physical act of zina, that a person now engages in relations with someone. But together with this, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions part of protecting and guarding a person's chastity. He says that even the eyes commit zina. وَزِنَا هُمَا النَّظْرُ. And the zina of the eyes is to cast a lustful glance. The hands commit zina, which is to touch a person of the opposite gender that is not permissible for you. The feet commit zina, which is to walk towards haram. The ears commit zina. And like this, all the body parts also commit what we would say a lesser zina, but equally impermissible and equally unlawful in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they preserve, they guard their chastity. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. And those who look after their amanat, those things which have been entrusted to them, wa'ahdihim, and their promises. In other words, if somebody leaves an amanat, a trust with him, then he looks after this, he does his best to safeguard it and to give it back to the person. Wa'ahdihim, and if they have to make a promise to anyone, then they keep to their word. This we find especially in today's time. We hear many people, or many a times we hear people saying that I would rather prefer to do business with a non-Muslim than a Muslim, because he will give me his word, but I don't know whether he will fulfill it, whether he will deliver, whether he will give the goods to me, whether he will pay on time. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is highlighting this quality, which without which a person will not be a true believer. He will not have true iman. So he is mindful of his promise. If he gives his word, then he fulfills his word. And then finally Allah ends with saying, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. those who protect their salah. So salah was mentioned in the beginning, salah is mentioned at the end, again for emphasis. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ الَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسِ. Allah says these people who have these attributes within them will be those who inherit الْفِرْدَوْسِ. The gardens of Jannatul Firdaus will be their inheritance, hum fiha khalidun, and they will then live a life of eternity in these gardens. So these are the people of true iman and true faith, true belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam, ya ayyuhar rusulu kulu min at-tayyibati wa'malu saliha. Allah says, O messengers, and here all the anbiya are being addressed, eat that which is min at-tayyibat, that which is tayyib. And here ulama have explained three words that apply to tayyibat: halal, wholesome and healthy. A person should eat that which is halal, wholesome and healthy. And then Allah says wa'malu saliha, and then carry out good deeds. So this is a command given to the anbiya. And likewise in Surah Al-Baqarah we find the very same command is given to the ummatis of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kulu min tayyibati ma razaqnakum. Eat from that which is tayyib. Here emphasis is placed on what a person consumes, especially during the month of Ramadan. We have mentioned before also that this should not just be a month where we adjust our eating times, that our breakfast is a little bit early and our lunch and supper is then delayed, but rather an effort has to be made to see what we are eating, what are we putting into our bellies. This will affect the quality and the quantity of a'mal that we can then carry out for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a very strong link between what a person consumes and the good deeds a person gets tawfiq to carry out. And we have experienced this before. Every person would know that especially when Isha Salah is late, and now a person has a large supper before Isha, how difficult it is to come to the masjid to read our Salah or to engage in any extra ibadat. So especially in the month of Ramadan, that we are fasting during the day, but we make an effort, our sari, our iftari, not that we shouldn't eat, this is also sunnah to eat, but there should be, what we are consuming should be less than out of the month of Ramadan, and of course to make sure what we are eating is 100% halal, wholesome and healthy. So this is in Surah Al-Mu'minun, and thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about a very, very important rule and law which now comes in Surah An-Nur, and that is regarding committing of zina. So the ruling is given of two people who commit zina, who are unmarried, then the punishment that has to be meted out to them is 100 lashes. Of course, we know in other verses and in the ahadith we learn that if the two guilty parties were married, of course not to each other, but they were married and now they still committed zina, then the punishment is for them to be stoned to death. And we are not at all apologetic about this. This is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has wisdom in every single law of His. Part of our iman is to believe wholeheartedly, without any reservations, in the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But together with this, thereafter Allah mentions that for this case of zina to be proven in an Islamic court of law, if we are familiar with the other capital punishments, we have capital punishment, the had, for theft and for drinking of alcohol and for becoming intoxicated, for murder, etc., then we find when it comes to all of these other capital punishments, for a person to be proven guilty, then there has to be a minimum of 2 upright witnesses. As an example, person A is claiming person B owes him some amount of money, then he has to bring at least 2 witnesses who witnessed that transaction, who are aware of the situation, and then only will this claim be accepted, and the person will be, or judgment will be passed against the person. But when it comes to zina, here Allah says that now becomes doubled, and there has to be a minimum of 4 upright witnesses for a case of zina to be proven against any person. So this verse was revealed, وَالَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ, that those who accuse a chaste woman, or any woman, of the commission of zina, and then they do not bring 4 witnesses, then they will now be punished for slander. And the punishment for slander, فَجْلِدُوهُمْ ثَمَانِينَ جَلْدًا, is now give them 80 lashes and don't ever accept their testimony in court. So this verse was revealed. If you accuse a woman of zina and you don't have the required number of witnesses, then you will get 80 lashes. Sa'ad bin Ubadah radiallahu anhu was the leader of the Ansar. So he asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that, O Nabi of Allah, has this really been revealed? Is this the law of Allah? So somebody made the comment that how can Sa'd pass a, make a statement like this? He's questioning the decision of Allah. Another person stood up and said, O Nabi of Allah, Sa'd is, he means well, he intends good, because he has a lot of protectiveness over his wife. And then he goes on to mention that if ever Sa'd divorced any woman, nobody else would dare marry her, because we knew how protective he was over his wives. So therefore he is asking this question genuinely. And then he goes on to ask Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that if a person goes home and he finds that there is a strange man in bed with his wife, then must he now go and look for four witnesses and bring them back? By that time this person would have fulfilled his need and he'll be gone. But a person's anger and his protectiveness would dictate that he grabs hold of that person and immediately he comes to the Islamic court and he makes this accusation against the person. But now he's going to end up getting 80 lashes. He doesn't have the required witnesses. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says this is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then a person by the name of Hilal bin Umayyah comes. And we had mentioned his name when we spoke about the battle of Tabuk, those three people who didn't go, and then for 50 days they were boycotted, then Allah forgave them. So Hilal bin Umayyah was one of them. He comes rushing to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and he says, O Nabi of Allah, I went home, I work on the outskirts of the city, and I came home late one day, and I found a man in my home, and he was fulfilling his desires with my wife, and I don't have any witnesses, but I am now laying I am bringing this case to you, and I am bringing forth this accusation. So Sahaba radiallahu anhum then realized that Hilal bin Umayyah is bringing forth this accusation. He doesn't have witnesses. This means he is going to be given the punishment. He is going to be lashed. So he asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that what should I do? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is about to carry out these 80 lashes on him. This is the law of Allah. So he says, O Nabi of Allah, I have hope that Allah will soon reveal something exonerating me and proving that I am correct. Nabi alayhi salam says, this is the law of Allah. You don't have any witnesses. You will have to be punished for slander, for accusation. And then Jibreel alayhi salam comes and the next verse is revealed where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that there is an exception if a person accuses his own wife. So two masail, two laws. A person accuses a strange woman, another woman, and says she has committed zina, then he has to have four witnesses. But if he accuses his own wife, then there is a process which is called li'an, which is detailed in these verses, is that if he does not have the four witnesses, he will have to take five oaths in the court, in the Islamic court, saying that he is truthful, and also saying that if I am speaking a lie, then Allah's curse be upon me. And then if she wants to now answer back or have a chance to say something, she will now take five oaths as well, saying that he is speaking a lie, and Allah's anger be upon her if he is truthful. And once this is done, the entire case dissolves. The husband is not punished for slander. The wife is not punished for zina. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a way out because of the incident of Hilal bin Umayyah radiallahu anhu. And now till Qiyamah, this will be the ruling of any person accusing his own wife of zina. Thereafter, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam carried out this li'an. And when he reached the last oath, so Hilal bin Umayyah took his five oaths, then his wife took four oaths. Just before the fifth one, Nabi alayhi salam tells her, innaha mujiba, that remember, if you are going to take this fifth oath, then this is going to change the entire case. You will not get the punishment of zina, and this is going to result in separation between husband and wife. The child that you give birth to also, whose child does that belong to? Will it be attributed to him or attributed to somebody else? So she pauses for a short while, as though she is hesitating. And then she says, I cannot disgrace my people, I cannot disgrace my family. And she takes the fifth oath. Nabi alayhi salam then dissolves that marriage. And she goes, Hilal goes his way. Nabi alayhi salam then says to Sahaba, that when this woman gives birth, you go and observe and see, if the child is born with a fair complexion, with straight hair, and his shins are thin, then we know it is Hilal bin Umayyah's child. On the other hand, if he is born with curly hair, with a dark complexion, and he has his shins are thick and meaty, then we know that the man he has accused, Shariq bin Sahma, the child belongs to him. And it is then mentioned that when she gave birth, the child was born with curly hair, dark skin, and this was then a proof, or rather this became clear, that she had indeed committed zina. But the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still stands. Because these four witnesses were not brought, the marriage was dissolved, she was not given had of zina. There are many, many more details to this, but we see again the justice and the equity and the fairness in the Islamic court of law. That we are not just going to be partial to the one making the accusation, at the same time we are not going to take the other party's side and say that that party is guilty, but each party is given a fair chance. And like this, ultimately, even if the truth may not come out in this world, or justice may not be meted out in this world, in the akhirat, justice will be meted out. Just one point for us to bear in mind, my dear brothers, when these incidents are spoken about, at all times we should maintain our ihtiram and respect for every single sahabi and sahabiyah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were human beings just like us. They had temptations just like us. They also made errors and mistakes, but they also made such tawbah. The one hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, another woman who had committed zina, and the people within insulting her as they were stoning her, Nabi alayhi salam said she made such a tawbah that everyone's sins would have been forgiven if it was included in this tawbah. So of course, they are of such a level, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. But these incidents took place as a lesson for you and I, so that these masail could then be derived and brought about for the rest of the ummah till the day of qiyamah. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.